We talk about AI as the thing, but AI is going to become in everything. So if you have a car, it's going to become an intelligent car, meaning it's going to leverage the data, having more intelligence using AI, you're going to have advanced silicon to power it. Then you zoom out and you look at the industry, significant opportunities to evolve into what's been referred to as an industrial revolution, with AI being as the mega driver.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EV Undisturbed podcast. My name is Nejdet Zathuryan, and I'm the editor of the tech section here at EVN Report. Our guest this week was Sassine Ghazi, the president and CEO of Synopsys. He joined us to discuss the company's 20th anniversary in Armenia. Sassine shared with us how the Armenian branch has grown to over 1,200 employees and become an integral part of the company's global operations through continuous investment in local talent. We also explored trends in the semiconductor industry, including the exponential demand for more computational resources driven by the advancements in AI systems. Thank you for listening. Sassine, welcome to EV Undisrupt.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time today. Welcome back to Armenia. I know this is your second trip to the country, but first as CEO of Synopsys. I was wondering if you could just start by reflecting on the 20th anniversary of Synopsys in the country. I think that's a huge milestone, both for Synopsys, but also for the Armenian tech ecosystem more broadly, because to have a company of the caliber of Synopsys here, big deal, obviously. So maybe you could just take a moment to reflect on that.
Of course. And the correction, it's my third trip.
Oh,
cheat me out of one trip.
Okay.
First one was 2017, 2022, and now. We started in Armenia about 20 years ago through a couple acquisitions. And since then, we've expanded to become a significant part of our development happens in Armenia. We have about 1,300 people here locally. And you know, you don't grow to 1,300 unless you're seeing a strong ability to deliver on the product that that team is working on. My thesis when it comes to investing and growing what we call growth sites are driven by two factors. One, you follow the customer and you follow the talent. That's an ideal situation. In Armenia, it was all about the talent because we don't have a local customer. I mean, to some extent we do, but very, very small customer base in Armenia. It's mostly around talent. And the team has done a really great job to work with the local universities to develop the relevant skills needed. So when they join Synopsys, they're productive and they're contributing, which is great for Synopsys and for the individual. Because when you come into the company, you want to feel that your education was immediately relevant to the opportunity you're working on. So foundational to our success here.
Looking back at that work you've done, Synopsys more broadly has done on developing talent and making the ecosystem stronger in that sense, do you find that as we move forward, it's becoming more and more independent of Synopsys's efforts? Like, has there been some more responsibility and autonomy taken from other institutions within Armenia, and it's making it easier to hire talent and development talent?
By the way, that's great. Some people may look at it as not necessarily a good thing. When you're developing a talent, that talent may not come to Synopsys.
Right.
But that's how you build an ecosystem. It's the worst if you are somewhere and you are the only ecosystem. Ecosystem is healthy. So as we're developing that talent and that talent ends up with other companies that they're expanding in Armenia, that's fantastic because that's how you expand your learning, your horizon. So the answer is yes. Over time, it became a source for the local ecosystem.
When Synopsys came to Armenia, the number of larger tech companies that had a presence in Armenia was either quite limited or might not have existed.
That's right.
Today, we now see there's a number of big global tech companies, notably companies like NVIDIA, AMD is here, Adobe has a presence in Armenia. As a CEO of a large tech company, what's your pitch to other companies of that same caliber to open an office in Armenia? Why is Armenia attractive to a company like Synopsys?
Yeah, believe it or not, the companies you mentioned, many of them, you know, when you meet as a CEO with other CEOs, one of the key challenges we're facing as an industry, and as an industry, I'm referring to the semiconductor industry and its ecosystem, is skills. Skill shortage is one of the challenges of our industry. There are a lot of different forecasts, but if you look at one of the forecasts, by 2030, it's anticipated for the semiconductor industry to be short by about 30% of relevant skills. So when a CEO asks me, so where are your major sites you're developing skills? Armenia's on top of the list. Mm-hmm. And when you mention Armenia, typically you see that look on their face, really where? And some people, they have no context where even Armenia is and why Armenia. And we talk about our history, our universities, our successes, because again, it's important to build an ecosystem wherever you're present. The mm-hmm. ecosystem can be customers, even competitors, and it's healthy. It's healthy for the growth.
So in that sense, given the exponential growth that is expected, not just in the semiconductor industry, but tech more broadly, mm-hmm. it's almost the onus is on Armenia to ensure that companies of Synopsys' caliber are always going to be looking globally for talent. They can't be limited to the cities where they were founded in. And it's the onus is on countries like Armenia to be presenting something that is attractive enough for them to want to come.
Yes, what is attractive from a company like the one, of course, Synopsys, and the one you mentioned, like an AMD, NVIDIA, etc., is the right environment for our employees. Mm-hmm. Because in order to develop the employees, we want to make sure that they have the right local support environment for them to thrive and stay locally, mm-hmm. because we're not developing them to move them. I don't want to develop people in Armenia to move them, say, to the US or to right. other locations. And Armenia has done a good job with that, actually. So our employees that they're developed locally, they're finding the opportunity to expand and grow their career locally, which is great.
Right. And it's also good for the company, right?
Because absolutely.
If it has a presence here.
Right. Completely. Yeah. Because, and of course, you know, we've made sometimes decisions where you go to some countries where you find the talent and you find a hungry talent at the right cost, but then the environment is not stable. Mm-hmm. That's not good because right. You cannot build a roadmap, you cannot expand the team, then all of a sudden you don't have access to the team. So from a complete view and a picture, so far, Armenia, and as I said, we've been here for 20 years, has been a success on all these different elements.
So the predictability of the environment plays a huge role in the
very
decision.
Important, very important.
In terms of when looking at the ecosystem, again, more generally, oftentimes a lot of emphasis is put on startups. And Armenia, I think, really for its punches above its weight class in that sense, we have a lot of venture-backed companies. A lot of them are leaders in their niches and their verticals. We have a lot of entrepreneurial activity. I'm curious, how do you see the role of a larger company like Synopsys in the startup ecosystem specifically? Does having Synopsys in Armenia help to have more really high growth, venture-backed, strong startups?
I believe so. And the reason I'm saying I believe so, because when you need a center of gravity. The center of gravity can start with, it does start with talent, but it can start with university, mm-hmm. that they're open, willing to invest, willing to build the future, government support to create stability, not government support to give us money. We are not looking for the money. We're looking for an environment. And then as you thrive, you're looking for the ecosystem. The ecosystem can be international companies importing some tasks and mm-hmm. Work to Armenia, which is fantastic. Then as you mature that ecosystem, naturally you have entrepreneurs that they capture the learning from a company like Synopsys right. and they want to expand and build their own, which mm-hmm. is, again, I look at it as a positive thing. Of course, when we lose an employee to go start their own venture, most likely they end up a customer,
right.
which is great. And if they're ending up a competitor, it's okay too. Right. You're building an ecosystem.
Right. Do you see that at Synopsys? Are Synopsys employees venturing off to start companies
yes,
in Armenia?
Yes. I remember the last trip, I had the team almost nervous to share, hey, there are going to be more companies coming here. We're losing. I'm like, that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's good for the employees and the ecosystem. Then we have to do our part mm-hmm. as a company to retain the employees, to provide them the right environment, to upskill their own, to develop them, etc. And we have a huge effort around that.
Right. And that competition makes it a better environment for the employees as well.
Of course.
Right. Yeah.
Of course.
Do you see a lot of the startup activity by Synopsys employees be in the EDA space?
No, not an EDA. See, we're in two businesses. We have the EDA and IP. The EDA space is very consolidated for good reasons. From a business point of view, it's very difficult to enter EDA. On the IP side, it's much easier to enter IP, but we're the leader in both EDA and IP with a very healthy ecosystem of competition.
Mm-hmm.
In Armenia, it's mostly our employees they're attracted to either companies that they are looking for similar skills as we have inside Synopsys. And in very few cases where they started small companies that in the same domain as Synopsys, meaning compete back with Synopsys.
Right. Yeah. I guess EDA is such a mature ecosystem that entering it would be like entering something where the big players have such a high share of the market already that it'd be hard to compete.
It's that, but it's more. The complexity of designing a chip requires a complete methodology, workflow, environment from that is filled with a front to end tools, an end-to-end solution. And an end-to-end solution, it took us 40 years to build.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot just come in and say, I want to build an end-to-end solution. You can build a feature of a solution, but it's rare to see because financially customers don't pay for a feature.
Right.
They want a solution.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Let's speak about the semiconductor industry more generally. Demand for compute has skyrocketed with the advent of AI, and AI that is really entering into workflows more and more. The demand has skyrocketed both for on the training side for chips, even more so on the inference side. We're seeing a lot of interesting things happen on the inference side with new models that rely much more on performance boosts at the inference point, not just in training. And this has caused a huge spike in activity in the semiconductor space as well. Maybe just from an outsider's perspective, it's the first time we're seeing a lot of exciting startup activity in the semiconductor space. There's new companies coming about creating chips. To start with, how do you evaluate sort of what's happening in the industry? And then how is Synopsys' role changing, if at all, with this space?
It's such an exciting time to be in our industry. Such an exciting time. I've been in the industry for close to 30 years. And you know, when you're in the semiconductor industry, you're used to a fast pace, right? Moore's Law drove the pace of innovation in semiconductor. Right now, you look at the reinvention of computing. It's not only that is more demand of higher performance compute, it's truly being reinvented of how to do compute. It's workload driven. It's a application driven compute, not a general purpose compute that fits every
domain.
One size fits all. With that, it's creating exciting opportunities because you have new entrants to the market that they're building their own silicon because they want to customize their silicon for that domain-specific, workload-specific application. So I look at the market as at an inflection point. Like any inflection point, it starts gradually, then it goes exponential. In that early stage of gradual, where it's happening is the AI infrastructure. Everything in the last couple of years has been focused on investing and building an AI infrastructure. And of course, not too many companies can afford to build that infrastructure. There's about four or five giant hyperscalers investing billions and billions of dollars to build an AI infrastructure for primarily the initial phase is training. But as you start thinking about AI over the next 2, 5, 10 years, AI is going to become everywhere, meaning every system is going to become an intelligent system where AI is going to be part of it. Today, when we talk about AI, we talk about AI as the thing, but AI is going to become in everything. So if you have a car, it's going to become an intelligent car, meaning it's going to leverage the data, having more intelligence using AI. You're going to have advanced silicon to power it. Then you zoom out and you look at the industry, significant opportunities to evolve into what's been referred to as an industrial revolution with AI being as the mega driver.
Does the rise of these more specialized, specific ASIC-like chips create any new challenges from the EDA perspective, from Synopsys' works perspective? Is there new methodology and research being driven to make this happen? Or is it more or less the same workflow as building general purpose chips?
Let me answer it in two ways. From a business point of view, it's a very good opportunity because right. you have more chips being designed. They need EDA and IP. So that's from a business. From a ability to design, from a technology point of view, back to skills, resources, there is shortage. Mm-hmm. So the people that they're entering into designing a chip, they want to do it in a modern way. And what the industry is offering, and Synopsys is the leader in offering it, is how do you design a chip using AI? Mm-hmm. Using AI to design an AI chip.
Right.
So we branded our AI offering as Synopsys.ai, where we're seeing great success. And by the way, most of those customers that I refer to are using our Synopsys.ai technology to improve their workflow, mm-hmm. meaning I cannot get the skills required. How can I leverage the capacity of the skill I have to deliver to that complexity and mm-hmm. the pace using every new method I can get my hands right. on?
That specifically is an extremely interesting point, the point of using AI to design chips in themselves. But we're out of time. So next time you're in town, I hope we'll be able to sit down again and speak exclusively about that.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for your time, Sassen.
Take care. Thank you. Take care. Thank you.